Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as many of you know, my car has been in the shop for some time now. It's a long story, but there's a lot of grinding and clunking going on in the back, and the part that needs to be fixed is on back order, so that's why it's taking forever to get fixed. In the meantime, the dealer has given me a loaner car, and I've got to say, it's pretty cool. It's a 2019 Chevy Equinox. It only has some 3,000 miles on it. And it's got six cylinders. It's roomy. It's comfy. It's got satellite radio, a touch screen on it. It's clean on the outside and inside. And it still has that new car smell. It's pretty awesome. It's fun to drive. And I'm not going to lie. I kind of wish this was my car. Actually, I really wish it was my car. After all, my Buick Encore is already 3 years old and has almost 40,000 miles on it. It only has four cylinders. It doesn't have much space, and come to think of it, I don't think it's comfortable at all. I don't have satellite radio anymore, and there's no touchscreen. The white exterior is covered with bug goo, and the inside has a layer of dust on the dash and dirt and crumbs in the cup holders. And that new car smell, well, it went away a long time ago. Compared to this 2019 Equinox, my 2016 Encore is, well, it's just lame. So I may have exaggerated my situation just a bit, but while driving this loaner car, I have caught myself pining for something newer and shinier than what I currently have. And not that wanting a new car is necessarily wrong, it's just that my car is perfectly fine. Well, it's fine when it's not in the car shop, but it's fine. And I actually really like my car, but I had to remind myself of this. I don't need a brand new car right now. My car is fine. And in the last few weeks, I've caught myself longing for other things that are newer and better than what I currently have. My iPhone is like four models behind now, the newest one. And the new ones are pretty sweet. But then again, I can do some pretty cool things with my phone. My phone is fine. I don't need a new one. I've also been in my apartment for about 3 weeks now, and I've started to notice a couple things that bug me. So already I start thinking about, well, maybe I could find a better apartment, a nicer apartment. Or maybe I could just get a house. But my apartment is fine. It's good enough for me right now. It's just amazing how easily my heart starts coveting after things. I come across something fancy or flashy, and all of a sudden, everything I own is obviously junk. How could I live with all this lame stuff? Well, it turns out Jesus has a thing or two to say about this situation. So turning to our gospel reading, we have the parable of the rich fool. An unnamed man comes to Jesus and asks him to help settle a family squabble over the inheritance. But Jesus refuses to have any part of it. And he actually scolds the man and then tells him this short parable about the rich fool. Upon hearing this passage, though, did any of you kind of think Jesus' response was a little rude? Maybe a little gruff? Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? Well, geez, Jesus, aren't you being kind of rough with the dude? What if the guy's request is legitimate? What if his brother is actually a jerk and is withholding the inheritance from him? What if the brother needs to be warned about coveting? What's the deal, Jesus? Sometimes it can be difficult to understand a particular Bible passage such as this one because we essentially pluck it out of its immediate context. So in order to better understand what's going on, we need to do a bit more digging. So this might help us see what Jesus is doing, why he responds the way he does. Well, earlier in Luke chapter 12, we find out that thousands of people have gathered around Jesus. But he is speaking specifically to his disciples. And he's telling them things like, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more than they can do. And the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Whoa. Jesus is obviously telling his disciples some pretty heavy stuff. He's basically warning them about the persecution that they are going to be facing someday in the future, and he's taking the time to encourage them. And so he's having a deep moment with his disciples, those that are closest to him. And then this random guy comes barging into the conversation. Jesus, help me get my stuff. Talk about a buzzkill. No wonder Jesus' response is a little brusque. Jesus essentially tells the guy, dude, I didn't come to earth just so you could get your stuff. My time here is short, and I have more important things to do concerning God's kingdom. But since you brought it up anyways, stop coveting over worldly possessions. Your life is worth so much more than how much stuff you own. And always the great teacher, Jesus turns the conversation into a teaching moment and tells the parable of the rich fool. Now, the fool's problem isn't that he's wealthy, nor is it that he wants to enjoy life. The problem is how he treats his wealth. First of all, he believes his life is safe and secure because of his riches. The thought that they could be whisked away at any moment doesn't cross his mind. And there's no trust in God. The second problem is he's completely self-absorbed with his wealth. Neither God nor anyone else crosses his mind. In taking a look at verses 17 through 19, I've counted 14 pronouns, and they all refer to the rich fool. He, himself, I, my. The fool is the only one in the picture. In fact, the only person he can talk to is his own soul. And this is why he has pushed out, because of his greed, he has pushed out God and anyone else from his heart. And this is why God calls him a fool. And it's never good when God calls somebody a fool. And the man dies that very night. And Jesus points out, what good are his riches then? And although he didn't share his wealth when he was alive, now that he's dead, his wealth is going to go to other people. Jesus is echoing the preacher from Ecclesiastes that we heard earlier. I've noticed the more possessions I own, the more divided my attention becomes. I have to take care of this thing and look after that thing and this other thing. Or stuff just accumulates in a box somewhere or a junk drawer, and I just forget about it. So it's not being used at all, but it's still there. I still have it. It's still mine. Of course, owning material possessions isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's good to have a car, clothes, furniture, toys, books, tools, phones, all those things. These can be great gifts from God. And God even gave us several commandments to protect our property. You shall not steal, you shall not covet. The problem is our sinful hearts can become obsessed with getting and gaining possessions. In our greed, we can hoard things for ourselves. And in our envy, we can covet after the things that don't belong to us. And you know, it's hard to love people when we're jealous of them. And while Jesus here is focused on coveting after material things, our hearts can become greedy and envious for so much more. We can covet after things like ideas, status, relationships, and the like. Why did he get promoted and not me? I wish I was as smart as she is. Why can't my kids be as successful as their kids? Why can't I be athletic like him? Why can't I have a perfect body like her? Why does that immature and insensitive person get to be married and I don't even have a significant other? If only I could be more outgoing like him. Maybe if I were more spiritual like her, I'd be happier. Why can't our church have programs like that other church? Why can't my family be put together like theirs? I wish the Huskers could be like the Hoosiers or the Boilermakers. No. I actually don't wish. Nobody actually wishes that. But I think you get the point. We can so easily covet after anything and everything. Greed, jealousy, envy, coveting, they all have a way of warping and twisting our hearts, obsessing over whatever it is we want. And while the 9th and 10th commandments deal directly with coveting, ultimately, coveting is idolatry and breaks the first commandment. This is what Paul said in our readings from Colossians. When we covet, when our hearts lust after what isn't ours, when we are greedy and selfish, we are worshiping false gods. When we covet after something, it's kind of like grasping it tight within our clutches. I imagine two hands desperately clinging on to whatever it is we want. I'll use my phone as an example, but really it could be whatever. I'm clutching onto it with both hands. But with such a tight grasp on my phone, I can't really use it. I can't even enjoy it. And I certainly can't share it. And since both my hands are clasped on it, I can't receive any other things from God or from anybody else. When we covet after something, we clutch onto it as if our identity, our well-being, our happiness, our very life depends upon it. Clutching onto created things, whether it's money, technology, relationships, sex, alcohol, popularity, acceptance, it's all ultimately destructive for us. It's also destructive for those around us. We become enslaved to whatever it is we're clutching onto. We look to it instead of to Jesus. We can close ourselves off from other gifts that God might give us. But Jesus frees us from the clutches of our self-imposed slavery. He did this, in a manner of speaking, by clutching onto the nails of the cross, dying for our every act of greed, jealousy, and envy. He's freed us from the clutches of coveting. We no longer need to clasp onto things for our identity or well-being. Instead, we can cling to Jesus, for our identity and ultimate well-being are secure in Him. And while we continue to wrestle against this temptation all our lives, clasping onto those things we think will make us happier, secure our identity, Jesus, with His nail-scarred hands, pries our hands from those idols. Sometimes gently, sometimes forcefully. Jesus doesn't want us clinging after false gods. He wants us to cling to Him. And as He said at the end of our gospel reading, He wants us to be rich towards God. So what does this mean? Well, when we cling to the cross, we can hold our possessions and even those things we want lightly. When I hold on to something lightly, I can actually use it. I can enjoy it. I can be content with it. I can share it. If it's taken away, I can be disappointed that it's gone, but my identity and well-being aren't wrapped up in it. My hands are still open to receive other gifts from Christ or from others. A posture such as this is what it means to be rich towards God. And in my short time here at St. John, I've experienced your richness towards God through the many gifts and acts of kindness I've received. And I thank God for your willingness to share and to serve, and I encourage you to continue laying up treasures toward God, all the while clinging to Jesus. And to that we can say, Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.